بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 32nd hadith from the compilation Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. And it is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. The author said, عن أبي سعيد سعد بن مالك بن سنان الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا ضرر ولا ضرار. حديث حسن رواه ابن ماجه ودار قطني وغيرهما مسندا. He said, upon the authority of Abu Sa'id, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La darara wa la dirar. La darara, there is no harm. Wa la dirar, and there is no harming. Or, there is no harm and there is no reciprocating harm. He said, Hadithun Hasan. This hadith is graded as Hasan. Rawahu ibn Majah, collected by Ibn Majah in his Sunan, and Ad-Darqutni, and others than them, Musnada, with a complete chain of narration. And as usual, we'll go through this blessed hadith, firstly mentioning the narrator of the hadith, then after this, a general explanation of the hadith, thirdly, a detailed explanation of the hadith, and finally mentioning some of the benefits which the ulama deduced from the hadith. So this hadith has been narrated by the virtuous companion, the great scholar from amongst the Sahaba, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. And he is Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and this is what he is known by. His name was Sa'd. And the name of his father was Malik. And he was the grandson, and he was the son of Sinan. And Abu Sa'id was Al-Khazraji, from the tribe Bani Al-Khazraj, from the Ansar. So he is Al-Khazraji Al-Ansari, from the Ansar, meaning from the inhabitants of Al-Madinah. And he is known as Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. When the hadith are narrated, they say, عن أبي سعيد الخدري. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Sa'd, radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam very early. He was from those amongst the Ansar who accepted Islam before the age of puberty. And his father, Malik, was also a Sahabi. And his father, he was martyred in the battle of Uhud. So therefore Abu Sa'id, Sahabi ibn Sahabi, Sahabi the son of a Sahabi. And also Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he also wanted to fight and partake in the battle of Uhud. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam refused to allow him because he was young in age. And then he fought the battle of Al-Khandaq, or the battle of Al-Ahzab, the battle of the trenches. And he fought with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam 12 battles. And also from the virtues of this companion Abu Sa'id is that he is one of those companions who narrated a large amount of hadith. And it has been mentioned that he narrated 1,170 hadith. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he narrated 1,170 hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. from the 1,170, 43 were agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. 43 muttafaqun alayh. And 16 Al-Bukhari narrated in exclusion to Muslim. And 52 Muslim narrated in exclusion to Al-Bukhari. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, during the time of the Khulafa, he was considered to be a mufti of the people of Medina. So he is mufti Ahl al-Medina. And he died in al-Medina 74 Hijri. And he was buried in al-Baqi'. And he was 84 years old when he passed away, radiyallahu anhu. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. There is no harm and there is no harming. Or there is no harming and there is no reciprocating harm. And this is a great hadith of Islam. Many of the rulings of fiqh are based upon this hadith. Because this hadith, it forbids every type of harm. Any and every type of harm, in whatever context, it is forbidden because of this hadith. A little amount of harm or a lot of harm. You harming yourself or you harming another human. You harming a human or you harming an animal. You harming a living being or you harming the environment. All of it is haram. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. There is no harm and there is no reciprocating harm. And Al-Imam Abu Dawud al-Sijistani, he considered this hadith to be from those ahadith التي يدور عليه الفقه, upon which the rulings of fiqh, they revolve. He said that the rulings of fiqh, they revolve around this hadith. And also from the importance of this hadith, is that the scholars, the fuqaha, they derived a qa'ida fiqhiyya from this hadith. And a qa'ida fiqhiyya is a general principle from which many other principles are deduced. And this is called al-qa'ida al-fiqhiyya. So al-qa'ida al-fiqhiyya, it isn't restricted to one branch of fiqh, i.e. it's not wudu or ghusl or salah or jihad, rather it is an underlying principle, like a rule of conduct. And then from this underlying principle or maxim are other many other branches and other principles. And this hadith, la darara wa la dirar, is one of those principles from al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya. And the author, he said, Hadithun Hasan, that this hadith has been graded as Hasan, collected by Ibn Majah and Ad-Darqutni and others. And he said Musnadan, and the meaning of Musnad, i.e. with a complete Isnad, with no breakage in the Isnad. However, the ulama differed that this hadith, is it authentic or not, and is it Musnad, does it have a complete chain of narration, or is there breakage in the isnad? And some of them said it is mursal. And the hadith which is mursal is the hadith that the tabi'i mentions from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and doesn't mention the sahabi in the middle. So when you have a tabi'i and he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, but he doesn't mention who the sahabi is, this is now a breakage in the chain of narration, the isnad. And this is called hadithun mursal. And the ulama differed whether the hadith which is mursal is accepted in terms of using it as a form of evidence. And An-Nawawi said that this hadith, the hadith of Abu Sa'id, has been collected by Ibn Majah. Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab, he said, Hadithu Abi Sa'id lam yukhrijhu Ibn Majah. that the hadith of Abu Sa'id was not collected by Ibn Majah. وَإِنَّمَا خَرَّجَهُ الدَّارُقُطْنِي وَالْحَاكِمُ وَالْبَيْهَقِي. However, this hadith was collected by the three which I have mentioned. وَأَمَّا ابْنُ مَاجَهُ. As for Ibn Majah, فَخَرَّجَهُ, he narrated this hadith من رواية فضيل بن سليمان, who said حدثنا موسى بن عقبة, who said حدثنا إسحاق بن يحيى بن وليد عن عبادة بن الصامت. Meaning, Ibn Majah, he didn't narrate this hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. He narrated a similar narration, but from Ubadat ibn al-Samit. And this hadith has come with different wordings. In some of the riwayat, لا ضرر ولا ضرار في الإسلام. And in one of the wordings, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. And then the Prophet said, من ضار ضره الله. Whoever harms, Allah will cause him harm. ومن شاق شق الله عليه. And whoever causes difficulty for others, Allah will cause difficulty upon him. Al-Albani rahimullah in Irwa al-Ghalil, he said that this hadith has been narrated by Ubadat ibn Samit and Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Abu Huraira and Jabir ibn Abdullah and Aisha bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq and Tha'laba and Abu Lubaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Yet despite this, the ulama differed whether the hadith is authentic or not. Because these narrations, often the sahabi is missing out. So there's a breakage in the chain of narration. Except that the ulama agree that the meaning of the hadith is authentic. Because the meaning is mentioned in the Quran. So any ayah in the Quran which forbids oppression and forbids al-i'tida, transgression, and forbids harm, it proves the meaning of this hadith. Like for example, Allah said in the Quran, لا تضار والدتم بولدها, that a woman, a mother, should not be caused harm on account of her newborn. So Allah, He negated الضرر, harm. And Allah said in the Quran, من بعد وصية يوصى بها أو دين غير مضار. He said, after a bequest which is given, or a loan which has been given, but not that which intends a harm. So again, الضرر has been negated. And how many ayat in the Quran does Allah negate الظلم, oppression? Allah said, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Verily, the curse of Allah is upon the people of الظلم. And also Allah said, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. And fight against those who fight against you in the religion of Allah. Then he said, وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. But do not exceed the limits. Do not transgress. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Because Allah does not love those people who violate and transgress. And also in the hadith al-Qudsi, which we studied previously, the hadith of Abu Dharr, in which the Prophet narrates from his Lord that Allah said, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. O my slaves, I have made الظُّلْم forbidden upon myself, and I have made it forbidden amongst each other, so do not harm and oppress each other. So the point is that the authenticity of the hadith in terms of the chain of narration may be differed over, but the meaning is correct. And when An-Nawawi said that the hadith is hasan, he meant by this that the individual narrations are weak. However, because there are a large number of weak narrations, when they come together, they become hasan. So this is what he intended, wallahu a'lam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began this hadith by saying la darar, that there is no harm. And in this, the Prophet forbade a person initiating harm. And when he said la darara, this is a type of nafi. In Arabic language, there's difference between an-nafi and an-nahi. So an-nafi is a negation and an-nahi is forbidding something. I'll make it clear. It's like, for example, saying there is no food. When I say there is no food, I'm not forbidding you from anything. I'm merely telling you and informing you that there is no food. I'm not forbidding you from anything. I'm negating the existence of food. But if I say to you, don't bring food, I am requesting from you and forbidding you from bringing food. In this hadith, the Prophet said, la darara. And this is la an-nafi al-jins. That the Prophet is negating the existence of any harm. And in the Arabic language, something can be negated, but a prohibition is intended. So it is a nafi, but the objective behind this is to forbid. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, la darara, there is no harm. There is no harm in Islam. And no harm exists amongst the Muslims. Meaning that don't harm. So the Prophet negates from Islam and negates from the Muslims that harm even exists in the first place. And this is to emphasize upon us that we should not be harming. And when the Prophet said la darar, he kept it general. He didn't say la darar ila muslimin, no darar to another Muslim, or no harm to a human being, or no harm to a camel. He said la darar, no harm. And this is therefore inclusive of every type of harm. Meaning, you're not allowed to harm your mind through any way. You're not allowed to harm your body. You're not allowed to harm your wife or your child. You're not allowed to harm the child of another person. You're not allowed to harm another human or an animal or a plant or the environment or anything else. La darara, no harm. Inclusive of every type of harm. And then he said, wala dirar. Wala dirar also can mean, and there is no harming or there is no reciprocating haram. And the ulama, they differed that these two words, la darar, wala dirar, do they mean the same thing or is there a difference between them? So some of the ulama, they said that they mean the same thing. La darar, no harm, and la dirar, no harm. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he merely mentioned it again for emphasis. So it means the same thing, but the second time round, the Prophet is emphasizing the severity of harming and the prohibition of harming. This is one explanation. The other explanation is that the first darar, this is a noun. And the second dirar, this comes from a verb. Meaning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that in the Sharia, there is no concept such as harm. The noun or the concept harm doesn't exist in the Sharia. The rulings of the Sharia are not there to harm you. Islam does not consist of harm. This is the noun, the concept. And then la dirar, the action, meaning the people of the Sharia, either Muslims, should not do actions which are harmful. So darar refers to the concept or the noun, that harm as a concept does not exist in the Sharia. And dirar in terms of actions, that Muslims should not be harming. Some of the ulama, they said that ad-darar is harming another person to benefit yourself. So you harm another person because by him being harmed is a benefit for you. And as for dirar, is harming another person even if it does not benefit you in any way, meaning out of pure malice and spite. And another explanation is that ad-darar is initiating harm and ad-dirar is replying with harm. Meaning ad-darar is a person harming another person and that person never did anything wrong to that person. And as for ad-dirar, it is when somebody has harmed you, you now reply back with harm. And both of them are forbidden. And this is why we say, there is no harming and there is no reciprocating harm. Meaning, you are not allowed to initiate harm and hurt, and neither are you allowed to reply back to somebody who harmed you with further harm, oppression and hurt. And there's another explanation, and that is that ad-darar is without any intention. You didn't mean to harm somebody, but your actions led to you harming him without an intention. And as for dirar, it is harming with the intention to harm. And Ash-Shaykh Ibn Uthmeen rahimahullah, he gives examples of this. He said, for example, you've got two neighbors. And one neighbor, he is watering his tree. And he overwaters his tree. So then water from his side of the house seeps into his neighbor's house. And it brings harm to his house or his garden. There is darar, there is harm. But did he intend this harm? He did not. But it is called darar. Even if he didn't intend the harm, because the harm occurred. But then you've got another person, and between him and his neighbor is a problem. So he intends to harm him. He harms him on purpose. And this is the difference between both of them. All of these meanings which we have mentioned, whichever meaning you take, the point is that the Sharia, it forbids harm. This is the point. So there's no harm in the Sharia, and the people of the Sharia are not allowed to harm. There's no starting harm, initiating harm, and there's no replying with harm. If you harm somebody without intending it, then you have to stop immediately. If you intended to harm somebody, then this is also forbidden. So all of these meanings are correct. And the general principle is there is no harming and there is no replying with harm. And this hadith, as I mentioned, it is a maxim. And the meaning of maxim is a rule of conduct, a principle which underpins the Sharia. And therefore, this hadith applies to every sphere of a person's life, especially al-mu'amalat. Mu'amalat, the interactions between the people, the buying and the selling and the marriage and the divorce and children and all these different types of interactions and relationships, it comes under al-mu'amalat. So for example, in the days of Jahiliyyah, the men, they would divorce their wives and then they would wait for the waiting period to finish and then they would take her back. And then after a short while, they would divorce her again. And then they would wait for the waiting period and then they would take her back. And then the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. Why? Just to harm her. So neither is she divorced and nor is she properly married, neither is she allowed to marry anybody else. The Sharia came, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. You're not allowed to do this action because you are intending harm of this woman. You've got another person and he divorces his wife and they have children. And he says to her that you have custody of the children. But if you marry another person, another man, then I'm going to take the children and take custody of the children. And what is his intention? That he wants to harm the woman. He doesn't want to allow her to marry another man, even though he has completely divorced her. He has no concern for the children, except that the children are an object to be used in harming this woman, in preventing her from marrying again. We say, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. It is not allowed. Because now you are harming this woman from allowing her a right which Allah has given her. That after you've divorced her, she's allowed to marry another man. Another example, a person in his will, he writes a bequest for half of his wealth to go to charity. And why does he do this? because he wants to reduce the amount of inheritance that maybe one of his children, one of his relatives takes. This isn't carried out by the qadi, because we have a principle, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. You bequested half of your wealth just to harm one of your heirs to your inheritance, therefore it is not fulfilled. Another example, a man, he's on his deathbed, his final illness, and just before he dies, he divorces one of his wives. Why? Just to prevent her from the inheritance. So then his inheritance goes to another one of his wives. This divorce, it isn't fulfilled by the qadi. Why? لا ضرر ولا ضرار. You only divorced her right before your death in order to harm her and keep her away from the inheritance. So this principle comes in, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. You are not allowed to harm. The divorce does not count. And there are many, many examples in which this principle applies. So as I mentioned, this is a qa'ida, qa'ida fiqhiyya. It is a principle which applies to almost every branch of al-fiqh. And as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he said, وَلَوْ سِرْنَا عَلَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. If we were to traverse upon this hadith and implement this hadith, لَصَلُحَتِ الْأَحْوَالِ, the problems between the people, they would be solved. وَلَكِنْ النُّفُوسِ مَجْبُولَ عَلَى الشُّحْ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. However, the desires of the people revolve around jealousy and stinginess and animosity. فَتَجِدُ الرَّجُلْ يُضَارُ أَخَاهُ. He'll find a man and he wants to harm his own brother. Or he will see harm occurring and he doesn't make any attempt to remove that harm or lighten that harm. From this hadith, as I mentioned, the ulama, they deduced this qa'idah fiqhiyya. And this qa'idah fiqhiyya, they gave it different names. So if Allah allows us and we study al-qa'id al-fiqhiyya, maybe we can do so after this. You'll find this qa'idah mentioned but with different names. But no, it goes back to this hadith. So some of the fuqaha or the usuliyun, they term the qa'ida with the wording of the hadith. The qa'ida is la darara wa la dirar. Some of them, they say al-shari'atu la tuqir al-darar, that the sharia does not accept al-darar, harm. Or they say the qa'ida is izalatu al-darar, the principle is the harm has to be removed. If we find any harm which is occurring, it has to be removed. Or they say ad-dararu yuzal, harm is removed. Also, the more general principle, they say al-shari'a mabniyatun ala jalb al-manafi' wa daf al-mafasid, that the sharia is built upon trying to attain benefits and repelling the harms. And one of the evidences is this hadith, la darara wa la dirar. As for the benefits of this hadith, firstly, it isn't allowed for a person to harm his own self. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la darar wa la dirar. And one of the understandings of this hadith is la darar, meaning you're not allowed to harm yourself. La dirar, you're not allowed to harm others. So if somebody said to you, where is the evidence that suicide is not allowed in Islam? You say, la darara wa la dirar. That person might say, okay, but this hadith doesn't speak about suicide. You say, yes, it's a general principle. La darar, you're not allowed to harm yourself. Wa la dirar, and neither are you allowed to harm others. Also from the benefits of this hadith is, it isn't allowed for us to harm anybody else. Thirdly, that this hadith, it applies to every sphere of a person's life. As I said, you're not allowed to harm your mind through intoxicants. You're not allowed to harm your children by preventing them from inheritance. Even if on the face of it, you mask it by doing a good action. As I mentioned, a person bequests half of his money to charity. But the intention is that if I give half of this money to charity, that means that this son of mine who's been disobedient to me, he's going to receive less inheritance. So even though on the face of it, it's a good action, but the intention is a darr. You're harming your son from a right which Allah has given him to your inheritance by instead bequesting the money to charity. Therefore, it isn't executed. Also, that from one of the main objectives of the Sharia, from the maqasid of our religion, is preventing harm. Preventing harm before it occurs. And if the harm occurs, then we strive to remove or lessen this harm. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is that in the Sharia, there is no ruling, there is no aspect of the Sharia which is harmful to a person. Yes, there may be struggle, but the Sharia is based upon benefiting us. The Sharia is based upon allowing us to attain that which is beneficial to us in this dunya and the akhirah, and keeping us away from everything which is harmful to us in this dunya and the akhirah. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is that qa'ida fiqhiyah, which is deduced from this hadith. And finally, the meaning of la darar, that there is no harming, meaning la darara bi ghayri haqqin, that there is no harm without any right. But if there is a right in which harm should be done, then it has to be done. So for example, the punishments of Islam, the had of Islam, a person might say that why are you chopping the hand of a thief? And the Prophet said la darar. And this is because when the Prophet said la darar, he meant bi ghayri haqq, without any right. But the thief, the harming of the thief is with a right, and that is because he was a criminal. So therefore we don't call this a darar. So harming somebody due to a right, like he oppressed somebody, and therefore the Sharia allows for this person to be imprisoned or punished or fined, this harm is done with a right. So the meaning of la darar, a la darara bi ghayri haqq. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم